Mahashi?
Yes?
We know that after the long passage of time, knowledge of fullness of life is lost and distorted, and that after some time, a master comes to bring back this knowledge. My question is just, how is the master chosen to do this?
Time does it. There comes a time that not only knowledge, but the whole creation, which is the expression of knowledge, completely dissolves. Not only gets distorted and forgotten, but completely dissolves. No existence of any expression of knowledge. Creation is just expression of knowledge of the Almighty Creator. So when the whole expression of knowledge can dissolve and again can reappear, then the knowledge forgotten can also be revived in the same natural way. It's the time that does it. Time. Away, like that. Time. It's only time can be held responsible for such a thing. Just as dissolution of all expression of knowledge, that is creation, is possible in the same procedure. Evolution of all expression of knowledge is possible. Just this, isn't it? Extinction of the expression of knowledge and reappearance of the expression of knowledge. True for the revival of knowledge and reappearance of the whole creation. Dissolution of knowledge, evolution of knowledge, forgetting of knowledge, revival of knowledge, forgetting of the completeness of knowledge. Knowledge is never forgotten. I mean, knowledge doesn't come to extinction. Even when the expressions of knowledge, all creation, comes to dissolution, even then knowledge doesn't dissolve. It remains in the inexpressed form. It remains. And then a time comes when it gets expressed in the expressions of creation again. So knowledge is eternal. Just as existence is eternal, intelligence is eternal. Now intelligence is just the non-expressed value of knowledge. Transcendental value of knowledge is pure existence, pure intelligence. There is some intelligence which sustains the state of dissolution. There is some intelligence which gives birth to the state of dissolution. And there is some intelligence which sustains the state of dissolution. And there is some state which puts an end to the state of dissolution, the birth of creation, and then the whole expression of that intelligence. So intelligence and therefore existence is eternal, infinite, even though it expresses in boundaries, infinite expressions, but in its absolute character, it is non-expressed. It has an non-expressed value. It has transcendental, infinite value. So, once it is established that knowledge is undying, eternal, immortal, like existence and intelligence. And therefore, its expressions change in the relative. Sometimes it is more fully expressed, sometimes it is less expressed, sometimes very less expressed, sometimes very much more expressed. And according to the expression of knowledge in creation, there is harmony or disharmony, happiness or unhappiness, progress or struggle, all these things, these relative values find their place in life due to the varying values of knowledge, sometimes more and sometimes less. Revival is just in this frame of changing values of knowledge, sometimes more complete, sometimes less complete, sometimes more complete, sometimes less complete. But knowledge is eternal. Its expressions vary from time to time, maybe even from place to place.
How about on other levels of creation besides the gross, like celestial? Is this same ebb and flow?
Other levels? Level of man, level of elephant, level of tiger, other species.
I was thinking other direction.
Other direction. Ultimate level of knowledge, where absolute expression of knowledge is a living reality. Absolute expression of knowledge, unified consciousness, oneness, harmony dominating. That is also a level of expression of knowledge, supreme knowledge. We call it supreme because it is that which can be said to be the goal of all streams of knowledge. The goal of all streams of knowledge. The goal of all streams of existence. The goal of all streams of intelligence. Always we have all these three together. The goal of existence, intelligence, and intelligence we may express by the word knowledge. Knowledge in its expressed value, in its inexpressed value, in its relative values, in its absolute values. So the absolute value of knowledge, existence, intelligence, that is non-changing. And because that is non-changing, it is possible for its expressions to be more clear sometimes, to be less clear at other times.
Is that due to the purity of the atmosphere?
Purity of the atmosphere impurity of the atmosphere, both at the same time. Impurity of the atmosphere necessitates the expression of knowledge. The necessity of revival comes when there is quite a lot of good and quite a lot of nuisance. So the good wants to expand, so from the side of the good it wants to expand. From the side of the nuisance it wants to have relief. And when both are of acute nature, rather acute, then the spark of knowledge gets created from the acuteness of these two values, positivity and negativity. Lot of good and lot of bad. Great virtue, great sin, must be of a top value. Modern times have been quite a lot. Such great comfort, you sit without moving and you travel 500 miles an hour. Such great comfort, such huge speed and you don't feel anything. Comfort, such increase of comfort on one side, and on the other, the danger of annihilation of the entire planet at any moment due to hydrogen or what bombs and go to a very great pitch, and then the revival of knowledge comes. And it does both things. It annihilates the negative powers and it supports and allows quick growth of virtuous field of life. Virtues grow and non-virtues disappear. Revival does both things. It works because it is born of both together. It is born of the influence of both, and therefore it brings blessings to both. Virtues grow and non-virtues disappear. Revival does that thing. It's a very beautiful time in the whole history of human race. It's a very, very beautiful time. When the knowledge of the Absolute, so simple, so natural, so fascinating. And it's so complete, seen from every side, so complete. So practical and so natural.
When you're talking about knowledge, does this mean that there's some value or some spark of knowledge that even maintains itself in disillusion? Are you saying that there's some spark or value of knowledge that is carried on in disillusion from creation to creation?
Oh yes, because some system of rebirth of creation is found at the close of a particular period. And therefore, if there were no intelligence conducting the life of dissolution, if there were no intelligence conducting the life of dissolution, how would creation start in such a systematic manner? So, the dissolution also needs intelligence to support its value. So everything becomes dark in the night, but there is some intelligence which continues to maintain night and then gradually gives rise to the dawn. And then again the night comes, and then again the night comes. This shows very definitely and so obviously that there is definitely some intelligence. Otherwise, how it could happen? Over and over again, no accident will take place in the same way all the time.
Is this essence of knowledge that's carried over from creation to creation? Is this the essence?
That's right. The same. Only the knowledge is expressed when the expression, when the creation is expressed. Knowledge takes the seed form. But it's just as the seed contains the entirety of the tree. The knowledge sustaining dissolution remains quiet and still and unmanifest. And then it starts to breathe life and creation begins.
Is this essence of knowledge what created Lord Narayana?
Essence of knowledge. Now when the knowledge is sustained, it can't be sustained without the knower.
Lord Narayana's knower.
Where is the seat of knowledge? Only in the breath of the knower. In the liveliness of the knower again, alone, is the root of all knowledge, is the seat of knowledge. And therefore, there must be someone to breathe out the knowledge when it is the time for the seed of knowledge to sprout. And it sprouts through the words of Narayana.
Does he ever go into disillusion?
He also gets into a seed form. And the seed is continued. The whole thing is in the non-expressed value. But the life principle doesn't dissolve. Life principle, only it becomes unmanifest. So we don't much think about dissolution.
There's a...
Think of progress. You know?
Well, speaking of progress, from Lord Narayana, Brahman was born.
Yes.
And at this time was Narayana relative or absolute?
We should say the wisdom of life was passed on by Lord Narayana to Brahma.
So the rules of how to work things?
And then Brahma passed it on to Vasishtha. So it came from master to master. We should just hold Narayana as the first exponent of reality, the custodian of wisdom of life. And it is that wisdom which through Brahma expressed in the whole creation. And Vasishtha cognized the reality of the whole creation.
Where did the first human come? When did the first human come, or human being?
First human being must be Narayana. Because he is the first in the tradition of masters. So he was a master. He whispered the wisdom to Brahma. Every human being has two or even three kinds of bodies, gross, subtle, and causal. Gross body, subtle body, and causal body, the cause of the subtle body. And what is the cause of the subtle body? The cause of the subtle body is ignorance. It disappears, the subtle body is no more competent to take birth. The cause of it is gone. When the ignorance is gone, then the cause of the subtle body, that agency which is responsible to give rise to the subtle body, is no more available. And therefore, subtle body remains without basis, just because the subtle body has expanded beyond boundaries. Subtle body, mind, basically, breath along with it, prana, it has expanded and has broken boundaries. When the boundaries are broken, then the basis of the birth is broken. What is the cause of rebirth? Cause of rebirth is last desire at the time of death. Last desire at the time of death. And when the goal of all desires is reached, unboundedness is gained by the subtle body. Mind has gained unboundedness. When mind has gained unboundedness, then the goal of all desires is achieved. And in this state of fulfillment, there is no aspiration to be reborn, because the goal of birth, to reach the climax of evolution, has been gained when the small s, ego, has expanded, when the wave has become the ocean. Where is the desire? Always the wave has a desire to become more and more and more and more. And when it has become the unbounded ocean, then all the desires are fulfilled. In this state of fulfillment, the last desire at the time of death has not potency enough to be reborn. The subtle body doesn't go anywhere to be reborn. So, the causal body is eliminated or brought to what? Non-existence. By what? By knowledge. Ignorance is smashed by knowledge. And this is what they say sometimes, that the karma is burnt in the fire of knowledge. The man in CC automatically finds that without him stretching a matchstick, all karma is burnt in the fire of knowledge. All the karma. All those deeds for which one has to reap the consequences and all that, they have found their own clients in the market, and they are not going to come back anymore. Once the fire of knowledge is kindled, the causal body, the cause of the subtle body, is burnt, is eliminated, becomes non-existent. Ignorance is the cause of the subtle body. Ignorance. And when knowledge comes, the very cause is burnt away.
In CC, is a subtle body still maintained? In CC, is a subtle body still maintained?
Is maintained. You know what happens? A twisted rope, a rope, manila rope, maybe. Twisted with all the twists and all that. You burn the rope, and it's all burnt, but the twists appear the same way as before. It's a rope. It's yet a rope. For all practical vision, it's a rope. The twists and everything is the same. Only it has lost its strength. From inside it has lost its strength. But from outside it is just appearing as a rope. Just like that. The inner strength is dissolved. Because initially, when only boundaries were there, knowledge, and the boundaries were very strong. And now, those boundaries have been permeated by the lively boundlessness. And therefore, even though they look to the boundaries, but the strength of the boundaries is no more available. It's weak. Boundaries are weak. And that is what happens to the subtle body. That is why it is not able to associate with anything. Remains a witness. Becomes incapable of participation. Whatever participation, it's by habit. For all apparent purposes, one does things, but actually one is beyond the catch of the boundaries, unbounded. This is another example. You have heard that example of the string in semi-darkness, and one starts to jump out, snake, 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 snake. And all the trembling, and everyone sees you trembling, and they also begin to be afraid, snake, snake. The whole town, the cries go, snake, 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 snake. And you have seen this, it's not a snake, it was a string. But even when you have seen the string in the torture, but the heart keeps on palpitating because it has started that way. It may take a long time before one could rest properly. Just like that, the long time life in ignorance, long time life in bondage, it has been going on and on and on and on, and all this, everyone said life is a struggle, and life is a struggle, and life is a struggle. Even when the dawn of bliss has come in, unity, consciousness, or say even CC has been reached, but the trembling of that and the echo of the life is struggle, it just continues, the habit, some botheration, some concern, some here, some there. By habit it continues. But whatever continues, it may affect one's environment, but it is weak enough not to overthrow the dignity of the enlightenment. One has known it's a string. Even though the heart palpitation goes on for some time, but nevertheless, one has known it's a string. It's not a snake. So, the dignity of enlightenment is not shadowed by all the behavior in the way that behavior used to overshadow one's own being before enlightenment. So, enlightenment continues, and symptoms of bondage continue. Symptoms of bondage as behavior in the boundaries, it continues. Only it ceases to bind, it's no more strong. This is all the difference that takes place in the state of enlightenment, that the differences and boundaries do not overshadow the unboundedness of one's own awareness or one's own being. So, the subtle body in CC enjoys its status of unbounded eternity, and this becomes dominating because the cause of the subtle body, which used to keep it within boundaries, has been eliminated.
The subtle body is the ego?
Subtle body is ego, intellect, mind, senses, prana, breath. All these together, the subtle body. subtle body is the inner man. And the inner man is composed of all these things together. All the senses of perception, organs of action, everything. And prana and what? Ego, intellect, mind, the whole subtle thing.
The senses sound like, I thought, were the gross. I thought the senses were the gross perceptions, on the gross level.
Senses have the gross dwelling places. Ear is gross, but it's the dwelling place of the sense of hearing. Sense of hearing is something subtle, and what we see is its home, its hut, its palace. Eyes are the homes of the sense of sight, like that. So the senses are subtler than their home. The indweller of the home is much, much subtler than the home itself.
And the causal is separate. Where is this coming from? The causal.
The causal body. The causal body that causes the subtle body to be and to continue in its own subtle individuality. Continue.
Is this like a body of just like ideas in that sense?
No. The causal body is ignorance of the fullness of life. Ignorance. Now, ignorance has no concreteness to its value. Knowledge is concrete. Opposite to that, ignorance is not a concrete substance. Only the absence of the concrete value of life, absence. And that absence of the concrete value of life causes the subtle body to remain within boundaries.
So the subtle body could, I mean the causal body could be like a negative of a picture that shares everything except what it shows up like the ignorance instead of the knowledge.
Yes. Just darkness being the lack of light. Lack of light. Now lack of light is lack of light. It's lack of existence. But it is lack. But this lack causes such terrible wounds on the forehead and on the one falls down and all. The whole paraphernalia of crying and activity and suffering is because of darkness. And darkness is nothing but absence of light. So we say absence of light causes all the headaches and breaking of the head and foot and all that. But it's a lack of light. And when the light comes, the very basis of all the suffering is gone. Just that. Ignorance is the basis of causal body. When the ignorance is gone, the causal body, which structures the gross body, has no basis, and therefore the causal body cannot structure the body. And that is why no rebirth is possible. The causal body, the ignorance, having been replaced by that which is infinity. Infinity. Now, infinity is the or can be the cause of not I isolation, not individuality, but cosmic life. And when the causal body has been replaced by that infinity, immortality, and therefore the chance of rebirth, there is no chance of rebirth, neither a realized man can possibly desire to be born, and if by any stroke of time, by any accident, if this becomes possible, if he desires to come back, he won't succeed. Because, no, Vyasa is a, we come to that, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, he said it was extremely exceptional case.
No, there is no exception in the case of immortality. This is like a roasted seed. A seed, roasted. Now it will look like a seed, absolutely clear, complete, full seed. Only it will not germinate. Not that, because from inside it had been roasted. The capacity to germinate is non-existent there. So the causal body, roasting of the causal body in the fire of knowledge, is just like that. For all practical purposes, subtle body, that is mental and prana activity, will continue, and the body activity will continue. For all practical purposes, the seed will be there. Only the inner ability to germinate, it is roasted. Is that so? This is what happens to the life of an enlightened. Firstly, he can't think of being born, it's just out of place. And if for any reason he dreams of coming back, he can't, because it has gone out of hand. Just can't. Just as a burnt string, even though appearing completely with all the twists and turns, appearing completely like a string, but it cannot bind anyone, because it's weak, it's strong, it's weak, no more strong. Like that, the individuality is weak. What has been replaced by individuality is cosmic life. Cosmic life is strong, individuality is weak, rebirth, chain of birth is gone, what remains is immortality. So just like a seed, even though desiring to sprout, will not be able to sprout, just like that, the causal body of the enlightened, having been burnt in the fire of knowledge, will not, there is no chance for him to be reborn.